The Sirott and Marciano Business Lunch Hour starts now. That's how all the TV newscasts do it now.
Right now.
Right
is
now.
What you meant. You didn't sorry. Mean now. You meant right now.
here's John Carpenter from Blue Sky Innovation at the Tribune. Hi, John.
Hi.
Hello.
You cover all things new and innovative about business, and let's start with the story about what's going on at Northwestern.
Well, this is a great story, I think. You know, one of the big things with technology these days is trying to figure out what to do and how to put to use all this massive amount of information and data that our devices are collecting all the time. And these doctors at Northwestern, along with some other doctors, are working on an app to help people who are trying to quit smoking or change their eating habits, people who have had congestive heart failure. And it's like a nagging spouse. They don't say that.
I don't know anything about that, John.
Okay. Yeah.
They call it, notice I didn't say nagging wife. It could be nagging husband.
Exactly.
They say it's positive interventions, but basically if your wearable devices sense a change in your sweat glands or your heart rate or your location, if you're going to your favorite smoking spot or whatever, you literally may get a text that says, are you sure you want to do this? Or you might get a phone call from a coach, or, you know, I can imagine, you know, put down that donut or whatever. But
how about a little zap like they do with those invisible fences for dogs?
That's what I thought when I saw the press release, but it's all very positive behavioral modification.
Look forward to that.
I think it would be annoying, frankly. I don't know.
I don't know if I could stand that. I imagine people kind of ripping the wearable devices off. But, you know, apparently when you're working with a coach to try and change, like quit smoking, they tell you if you get a craving to, you know, call the coach. But people never do that.
Whatever helps.
And this supposedly is before you get the craving, your device knows it.
We've been talking a lot about startups and high tech in Chicago and what's going on at the Merchandise Mart and other places. And you've been covering a story involving tech recruiting. What's the latest?
Yep. Well, one of the things that really frustrates the growing tech community here is that between the University of Illinois, Northwestern, and University of Chicago, especially the University of Illinois in Champaign, is really one of the top computer science programs in the country. And a lot of that talent comes to Chicago, but a lot of it, you know, literally Google and the big Silicon Valley companies fly in their own jets and whisk the top students off there and offer them these great jobs and these great internships. And a lot of them wind up going to Wall Street. And so they're the Illinois Technology Association is kind of leading this, but they run something called the Tech Challenge, where they invite these kids to take a test. And then the top 50 come to Chicago, and they're actually here today. They took the test this morning, and they'll announce the winner later. But really the idea is to say, look, you know, you've got this great city, you've got companies like Groupon and, you know, Motorola and a pretty strong tech scene. Why don't you think about starting your career here?
And a really nice and livable city that's what Chicago is, except in the winter.
Yeah, I mean, imagine trying to live out in San Francisco at age 22, even if you're making a lot of money, it's tough. To me, it's a no-brainer. Chicago's a great place to be in your 20s.
And
right?
Aren't a lot of these kids who are going to U of I also from Chicago in the first place?
Yeah, there's a lot of kids from Chicago. I mean, of course, U of I, especially computer sciences and computer engineering. I mean, it's truly, what people tell me, I mean, it's truly among the top programs in the world. And so, honestly, they get quite a few. I think I've interviewed two kids from the University of Illinois who had to go back to China as soon as they graduated because of the immigration laws. So there's a few of them that they lose just because they can't stay here. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they're always trying to get people to come back to Chicago. But
if you have a problem with your smartphone, chances are you can just find somebody on the street to help you because some very smart tech students are in town this weekend.
Right, right. And that's this tech challenge. And they brought the ITA, it's the Illinois Technology Association, brought them in. They had a reception for them last night. They're from quite a few from Northwestern, University of Chicago, University of Illinois, but then also Purdue, Michigan, basically the Midwest schools, the local talent. And apart from taking this test, there's a lot of sponsor companies, tech companies, that are probably offering them jobs. I mean, it's not a huge problem, but it's quite a problem for growing tech companies here to really find young talent.
So organizers will throw a problem out at these folks?
Right, exactly. And it's a coding problem. I mean, I covered it last year, and 1 year, it was a couple years ago, they literally told them, make Grubhub. And Grubhub had just started at that point. But basically, these kids in a few hours had to sit down and write the code to set up an ordering system and a delivery, you know, whatever the algorithm is that you need to create something like that. So these kids are so far beyond what I sit there and hear that and I think, I wouldn't be, yeah, begin
forget
to
about
know how
coming
to
up
that.
With the answer. You don't right. understand the question.
Right. I could write Grubhub.
Yeah.
All right. So I'm really interested in this Argo T adding mobile ordering. Is that just the way of the future?
Everybody's like, doing that,
right?
Everybody's
and doing not that. Only not only. I mean, mobile is the way of the future. I think. I want to say it was Grubhub, but one of the big delivery companies recently announced that like half of their orders are now mobile. And if you talk to anybody who's in e-commerce, they're trying to go to mobile. And you know, for Argo T, I mean, you think about it. You're walking back to the office. I mean, they're in our office. You look at you say, oh, I'd love a cup of tea, but I'm in a hurry. You know, you pop open your phone, hit a few buttons, and it's waiting there when you come in. It's absolutely the way of the future, I would say. I mean, we're going to do so much on our mobile devices. Really, we're going to do almost everything. We're going to manage our lives.
And we're also going to be able to buy art and see what it looks like on our own walls right. virtually. What is that all about?
Well, that was developed by an art student who I think happens to be married to a venture capital person. But
that's a perfect combo,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. But you know, this idea of being able to visualize things before you buy them. I mean, there are apps that allow you to see yourself in clothes virtually. There's a company that does 3D imaging that does that. I think it's all part of this sort of seamless web that allows us to think things and see them and do it without a whole lot of, you know, in the old days you'd look at something like that and say, oh, that's never going to work. I don't know how to set that up. You know, now it's here, load this, tap it, use it.
I worry about security on the phone. I worry about your credit card number and other personal information now that we're using the mobile devices like that so yeah. much.
Oh, yeah. I do, too. If you go over to 1871, the sort of tech incubator, which most people probably heard of, I mean, a couple of the real strong up-and-coming companies, that's exactly what they're dealing with. RippleShot was a big winner of a Chicago Innovation Award this year. I mean, that's precisely what they're doing. And that's sort of classic Chicago startups, companies that'll pick a little problem like that that's actually a big problem and make something that solves it. So
we just got an interesting text that just makes me, I was thinking about this before we even got the text. Somebody saying that after taking 10 computer science classes at the College of DuPage, I've yet to have one single young female classmate. That's a real problem, isn't it?
It is.
Girls are just not attracted to that field?
You know, it's a very... It's a big problem. It's a problem that people are aware of. At 1871, they've created a sort of a separate incubator for women-owned companies. I think the universities are working hard to try and make it more attractive to women. You know, there's it's kind of a multifaceted problem. One of the, you know, it may just be that, you know, it starts in the younger grades where girls aren't encouraged in techie sort of things. But there's also, I think, some people who sort of lament a kind of a tech bro culture that happens in some of these places where women at that point, they're no longer little girls in school. They're women trying to start a career,
right.
Maybe don't feel welcome, but it's definitely an issue. And I think it's on the radar. You know, there's a pretty vibrant women in tech group in Chicago that I've been to once or twice. So there you're trying to get women who have succeeded, and there are quite a few women CEOs of some Chicago startups who are techies.
Don't be surprised if it changes.
Yeah,
quickly. Hopefully,
I think yeah, sure, absolutely.
John Carpenter, Blue Sky Innovation at the Tribune, covering startup ventures. Talk to you next week, John. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Our friend Johnny Jett, the travel guru, proprietor of the website johnnyjett.com, is on the love boat today. Explain that, please, Johnny.
Hey, Johnny.
I'm on the new love boat. How are you guys doing? So I'm actually in the Bahamas right now. I'm on board. And the Regal Princess, which is Princess's newest ship, it was just christened yesterday or 2 days ago by the original cast of the love boat. all six of them were here, and they also had 25 of their guests. That, you know, they used to have big-time guest stars, including Florence Henderson, Marianne Ross. I don't know if you saw my Facebook page, but I got a picture of me, Florence Henderson, you know, Mrs. Brady, and Mrs. Cunningham together. I mean, that was pretty awesome.
Oh, and
and the ship is beautiful.
The itinerary is what?
Well, this is just a preview cruise. So it's just a three-day, short-day cruise from Fort Lauderdale to the Bahamas. Tomorrow we're at sea. Tomorrow, Sunday, we're back in Fort Lauderdale. And then from now until April, the ship is going to be just going through the Caribbean. And then it will go to Europe in the summer.
What happens on a love boat, Johnny?
Man, well, not a lot for me because I'm married and my wife's not here.
How's the cruise business in general? What's new there?
Oh, the cruises are booming. I mean, this ship can hold 3,500 people, and they keep building these ships, and, I mean, they're sold out. I was just walking by the front desk, and I heard someone say, can I upgrade my cabin? They're like, we're sold out. And so it's booming, but you can get really good deals. And I think that's why the ships are booming, because, you know, if you can go on a cruise, all your food's included, and all of your drinks, except the alcohol, it all depends on the cruise line. So if you do like a Seabourn cruise, which is really high end, it's going to cost you a lot of money, but everything's included. On Princess, you know, for breakfast, juices are included in coffee, but at lunchtime, iced tea and lemonade is free, but everything else will cost you money for drinks. But so if you can, as long as you can stay away from the booze and the gambling, you can have a very affordable vacation.
One of the features we like on JohnnyJet.com is the travel tip of the day. Talk about the one you've got posted now about filling out your baggage tag. This is interesting.
Yeah, so but, you know, when I travel, I see these people, you know, they're on the train, they're in the airport, and they have these big bag tags, and they show their whole address, their phone number, everything. It's just a red flag. So, you know, if I was a criminal, or I would just be scouting out on the train or at the airport, and then I'd call up my friends who are burglars and say, "Hey, these guys are away."
You don't need all that, right?
You don't need it. All you need to do is put your phone number, and I put my email as well. Mm-hmm. That's really all you need to do, mm-hmm. and your name. But and also, what you really want to do is have the tag claim, have it covered. So get one that covers the actual name, so people can just open it up. And also, when you travel, you want to make sure you put your information inside the suitcase as well, so in case that tears off when it's going through the baggage claim or whatever, that way, if they do lose it, they can open it up, and they'll hopefully have your address right inside is what you want to do.
Good tip.
Or your name and number.
And you have another tip on your website about monitoring the parking meter with your phone alarm. That sounds like a great idea. I never would have thought of doing that.
Yeah, I mean, so I live in California, and they are crazy about meters. I mean, if you're a minute over sometimes, you're going to get a ticket. So what I do is I put my meter in, my money in the meter, and I look at the time, and then I just set my watch on my phone, my alarm, to go off, you know, an hour later or whenever however much I put it in. So right before it goes off, I know to go feed the meter or move my car. And it's a simple tip, a travel tip, and I think people should do it all over the world.
Johnny, the love boat sounds lovely. It sounds wonderful. But a lot of people right now, aren't they just trying to get their holiday, time scheduled and get a good deal for flying to visit relatives for Thanksgiving or Christmas?
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, they're definitely doing that. Hopefully most people have already bought their tickets, because the prices are only going to go up. I think we talked about this a couple weeks ago. You better jump on it if you haven't already. You're not going to get deals, you know, the peak days, especially for Thanksgiving, the Wednesday before, the Sunday after. So you got to be flexible. But, you know, what you could do is you could save your money instead of traveling those days. Go a week after Thanksgiving or a week after New Year's and go either on a cruise. All the cruises are going to be super cheap then. Or go wherever you want in the world, pretty much, is going to be cheap, except maybe Australia and because they're having the Australian Open down there, and that's their summer.
That's the kind of tip I like.
Yeah, you tell that to our family, Johnny. We won't be around for Thanksgiving. We got to save money. We'll be traveling later. JohnnyJet.com, the most comprehensive travel site on the internet. And as you know, I've been on every site on the web. That's what I do in my spare time.
You surf.
And this is the best one. All right, have a good trip, Johnny, on the Love Boat. We'll talk to you next week. Rod and Murciano, our first hour, the business lunch. We continue now. Let's get to some hashtags, likes, and shares with Scott Kleinberg, nationally syndicated columnist. You read the social media column in the Tribune. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hi there, Scott.
What's up on the buzz today?
Lots of good things. Let's see. We can start with the polar vortex if we want.
Now, that again.
Yes.
And haven't you heard? We're not going to have a bad winter.
See, that's the thing. That's what they're saying. And then
I'm saying we're not going to have a bad winter.
I want to believe you. Believe me. But now things are starting to look the other way. And the fascinating thing this week is, well, next week there's supposed to be this cold blast and maybe some snow. And it's actually not the polar vortex that's doing it. It's a typhoon. The same typhoon that went near Japan, moving as not a typhoon into the Gulf of Alaska, and all of these people now talking about how a typhoon is going to make our winter crazy.
And so people are really like, in what way are they talking about this? They're like posting things, or
they're posting everything saying, you know, like last year polar vortex, this year typhoon. But of course, people are just wanting to go back to the polar vortex because that is the cooler thing to talk about.
Yeah, because it's cool to say polar vortex.
Yes.
It's not as cool to say typhoon.
But to me as a weather, I'm a weather geek, and to me, saying a typhoon is causing our snow is so much cooler than saying the polar vortex is causing snow.
Until I hear Tom Skilling telling me that the typhoon will give us a bad winter, I'm not believing any of it.
Well, a typhoon is just another way to say a hurricane, I believe, isn't
it? Yes, yes.
So how can one storm affect all of the weather, like a polar vortex?
Well, affected for a long time anyway.
Right, for a long time. Well,
right, but this particular storm is so strong, it's going to, as they put it, knock a piece of the polar vortex down and actually cause the cold and the snow, which is, that to me, that's the coolest part.
Cool. All right.
People who are watching election coverage on CNN may have noticed this, and this reminds me of what happened in the NFL, I think, where they distributed not iPads, but the Microsoft version, the tablets,
the Surface, yes.
The Surface to the coaches and people on the sidelines. But the commentators on television, when they see a picture of one of the coaches with these devices, they say, oh, he's on an iPad, which
right.
must drive Microsoft crazy, right?
It drives them crazy because in that case, you know, no matter what they're on, they just refer to it as an iPad. And they have rules where you have to use it, right?
Mm-hmm.
The CNN thing, on election night, Microsoft gave the CNN commentators access to Microsoft Surfaces because those are what they can use to power this magic wall that they use to show all that election coverage at home. But the people were using iPads, so on TV, what you saw was an iPad in front of a Surface and the Surface being used as a stand for the iPad. And
so
of course,
how
that
does
went
that Surface work, that it's a stand? How?
Well, it just like propped it up in front of them and they just put the iPad in front of it. So it looked like, you know, there's two tablets there, but the tablets that they're using are actually the iPad. And that's what everybody noticed on TV. They're like, nice stand. Look what they're using. They're using a Surface as a stand.
And is that because the iPad, as wonderful as it is, you know, the way to prop it up really doesn't work?
No, I think it is just because the iPad is cool and everybody wants to be associated with it in some way. You bring it from home, you bring it to work, you use it in so many different ways. And I think Microsoft is having a hard time getting people to embrace the Surface in that way.
There were a lot of Facebook comments and tweets about Starbucks canceling the eggnog latte.
Yes.
And they are saying they made a mistake now, aren't they?
Yes, because they heard the outcry and they said that they are going to bring it back. It was the shortest cancellation of anything in the, you know, that I can remember. And then all of a sudden now it's back because people can't live without eggnog lattes, I guess.
Was it a marketing stunt, do you think?
It might have been. It's possible. Although seeing the way people reacted, I do believe that there is just there's so much love for it that it wouldn't surprise me if it was real.
I just want to know if there's any eggnog in the eggnog latte.
I've seen them make it. There is actually eggnog in an eggnog latte. It's
okay,
real.
Good.
But there's no pumpkin in the pumpkin latte.
Exactly.
Right?
And I don't think that's changing anytime soon.
Finally, let's talk about Twitter trying to be more like Facebook. What are they doing?
Twitter is always trying to do this. They are putting the box where you say, you know, what are you doing now type of thing at the top of your feed instead of on the side. So that is going to be much more Facebook-esque.
You mean right now it's on the upper right, isn't
right.
it?
And now it's going to be in the center. Yes, and now it's going to be in the center. So it looks a lot like when you're using Facebook and you have your box at the top. That's what it's going to look like. Twitter has had this identity crisis for such a long time where they feel like Facebook is easier to use and people say that. So they think moving the box around is somehow going to help. But people who use Twitter for a long time are like, you know what? This is weird. We don't need to do this.
And why is it not easier to use than Facebook?
See, to me, that's not really true. To me, it is just as easy to use. But when you first come onto Twitter, you don't exactly know what to do. You don't know what the at symbol means. You don't know what the hashtag means. Facebook makes that a little bit easier, but where you place the box isn't going to make anything easier.
Scott Kleinberg, the So Social column is in the Tribune. Have a nice weekend. Watch out
you
for the
too.
Typhoon, Scott. Sarada Marciano, the Business Lunch Hour continuing. We call this Soon to be Famous. We want to tell you about a business in Ravenswood and Lucila Giagrande. How are you?
Good. How are you? I'm excited to be here.
Welcome to our show. It's so nice to have you. And you also brought treats.
Yeah, let's talk about the treats and what Lucila makes. And to give it its proper due, Marianne, you'll say the name of the product.
Well, I believe I need to at least ask, what are alfajores?
Alfajores is a traditional pastry of Argentina, where I grew up. And they are also traditional of some other countries. They have them in Peru and Uruguay and Chile. Argentina has the most industry for them, and it's something that we eat at all hours of the day.
How did you start in this business, and why did you get into this particular product?
It's because something that I love. I loved eating them when I was a kid, and sometimes my mom would make them with us. I have two sisters. We loved everything sweet that she made, and especially the alfajores. And I wanted my kids to grow up having them, and I started making them the alfajores for them.
It's a cookie. Okay, it's a cookie, right?
It's a cookie, yes. It's a concept of two cookies with a thick layer of dulce de leche, which is creamy caramel.
Marianne, that's your favorite.
Dulce de leche is I could eat it all day.
It's me too.
It's too good.
And by the way, that was Marianne's radio name in Miami. Dulce de leche.
That would attract a lot of listeners.
Mm-hmm.
And
it did.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's dulce de leche filled treats that we put on the front of our packaging. And we also named the alfajores Alfies to make it easier on the American consumer to pronounce.
All right. So then how do you get the word out on something that is so specific so that more than just Argentinians or South Americans and people who know what dulce de leche really is? How do you get the word out?
It was tough to, I am a cook and I love to cook, so I was making a lot of sweet things, and especially these, and a lot neighbors and friends were like wondering, what are these? These are fantastic, delicious. So I decided to launch the business and focus on the alfajores only because it's something that I love. I mean, and it was tough coming up with that decision because then you never know if people are going to notice or start liking, buying them or liking them. So the thing is, you have to put it in front of people and have them taste them. And once they taste them, it's all over.
And people at different kinds of markets and fairs tasted them in neighborhoods.
And we started,
is that how you got started?
Yeah, we started at the farmer's market, one client at a time. And we did farmer's markets for 3 years. And we started putting them in small coffee shops and small grocery stores and gourmet delis. And that's how, you know, with the help of people who believed in the product, and once they tasted them, yes, it's something that not a lot of people know, but they gave me shelf space and they gave me the opportunity. And now we are at Whole Foods and we are at the airport with Rick Bailey's, and now we are up in production a lot. So we have grown a lot in the last 3 or 4 months.
So is your goal to serve these out of the oven fresh to people, or do you want to put them on store shelves? How do you decide which direction to go in?
The direction is the wholesale direction. This is a pastry that stays good for weeks. So what we're doing is we're distributing. We make them. We have a production facility on Ravenswood. And we just build that out after sharing and renting kitchens and sharing from others. So we build that out in February, and we distribute from there.
How's business so far? How's it going?
It's going great.
Well, we're saying
you're soon to be famous. Marianne, why is the box of these by you?
Well, you know what I was going to say? That I love that there's a box, and I mean, it also makes such a great gift in terms of, like, if you're going to a dinner party, or
yes,
if you're if you just, I mean, it's just a perfect gift. And you're saying that it stays fresh, but is it full of preservatives?
No, it doesn't have any preservatives, but a butter cookie will stay fresh in an airtight container. And then the dulce de leche is half milk, half sugar, so it's preservative on its own. And that was one of the logistical things that we had to figure out in order to get into Whole Foods. And how do you get rid of the preservative?
How do you keep it healthy?
Congratulations.
It's very healthy and wholesome.
Congratulations. You passed the Marianne preservative question. Lucila Giagrande, Lucila's homemade alfajores. Is that close, Marianne?
I think it is, yeah. Is it?
But we're going for an alfination. So it's alfies is Alfie what we're going
nation.
For.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, whatever you want to call it, I'm ready to eat them. And and people can get them where now?
We are in 45 stores in Chicago and the suburbs, and we're also in Michigan. We're with Plum Market, which is a new supermarket chain here in Chicago. We're with Whole Foods. We are with Rick Bayless at the Shoko restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
And also several independent coffee shops, locally roasted coffee like Big Shoulders, Asado Coffee. Ice cream shops.
Well, you're everywhere. Lucila, good luck to you. Thank
We're
you.
We're trying.
And come back when you're even more, come back when you're famous as opposed to soon to be famous.
Yeah, well, I think you're pretty famous already.
I hope it's soon, but if you invite me, I'll be here.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lucila.
This is the Business Lunch with Surat Murciano on 720 WGN.